What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Brute force. If it doesn't work, you're just not using enough. You're listening to Soft Web Radio, Special Operations Military News, and straight talk with the guys in the community.
Welcome to another awesome episode of Soft Rep Radio. I'm your host, Rad, and today I have a very special guest. But before I introduce him, I want to talk to you about our merch shop. Go check it out. It's at softrep.com. Check out our merchandise. We have branded equipment and shirts and things with our logo on it. And you guys have been supporting us so much. That's what keeps the fireplace flickering. So keep it up. We really appreciate you. I also want to mention softrep.com/book-club. You know it. And if you don't, it's book-club at softrep.com. Go check out all the latest books that we've been curating for you to read and enjoy. And we're also going to try to get this next book, this next author, in the book club. And without further ado, I want to welcome Staten Bonner, who authored Bare Knuckle. And this is his first book. And we're going to welcome you to Soft Rep. Welcome.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me so much.
You know, I have the book here. Bare Knuckle, Bobby Gunn, 73 and oh, undefeated, a dad, a dream, a fight like you've never seen. Staten Bonner, what a great feeling book. Okay, I've had a lot of books come through my hand, okay? And there's a feel. Do you know that? There's a feel to this book, and it just feels good.
I'm glad to hear it.
Okay.
Felt good to me.
Yeah, it does. It has a nice feel to it. Some of them are slick. This one just feels like a little gritty. You know, it feels like where it comes from. You know,
yeah.
I box. Well, okay. All right. My business partner says the bag doesn't hit back to me all the time. And I'm like, you're right. So I call a lot of fights. I sit around the ring. I have a microphone. I'll call you from the red corner, the blue corner.
Yeah.
You know, I love to do it. And when I was told that you want to come onto our show and talk about Bare Knuckle, I was like, ouch. Well, let's go. Welcome to the show.
Glad to be here.
So you decided to go into the underground of the Russian boxing underground,
yeah,
in New York City with Gunn over here, Bobby Gunn. I'm just going to have to hold it up again. That dude has got a mug, bro.
Yeah, he's a tough guy. Literally no cartilage left in his nose. He'll give you the profile and compress it totally flat. Whoa.
Bare knuckle. This morning I was talking to my coach, Coach Demetrius, at my gym at Legends. I was like, hey, coach, I'm going to go interview this guy about bare knuckle boxing. He's like, bro, that's the first thing he says. And he's pro. He's pro. He's 28 years old wanting it. And he's like, all it takes is 1-2 punches with nothing just to rip you open.
Yep. Yeah, it's pretty fascinating. I mean, we'll get into the science of it and the sport of it. It's completely different from boxing, which is, you know, technical in some ways. It's a longer lasting fight with boxing. Bare knuckle is all about speed and precision. You're trying to take down someone very quickly with surgical strikes. But yeah, you know, to back it up, Bobby Gunn to me was just a fascinating person. You know, he was a father who was fighting in these underground mob-backed bare knuckle matches to put his 7-year-old daughter through private school. That story alone stood out to me. And I was like, who is this guy? So I was working as an editor in New York City at GQ Magazine, writer there, and saw a story in 2011 about the first sanctioned bare knuckle fight in U.S. history in 120 years happening on a Native American reservation in Arizona, because they were able to do it in tribal law outside of U.S. state jurisdiction. The winner of that fight was a guy, Bobby Gunn. And, you know, I was like, who is this guy? What is this thing? I looked him up on Facebook. He was right across the river in Hackensack, New Jersey. I messaged him. He's like, yeah, bro, come on over. So I went out and went to this, you know, gym, Ike and Randy's. It's actually in Paterson, New Jersey. Which this is not, you know, your Bally's Fitness. This was
right
in a, you know, pretty tough neighborhood. You had to go through a chain link fence past barking pit bulls, basically into this basement. And it was a beautiful place, though. I mean, it was really all done with love. These guys in the neighborhood who were, you know, trying to, you know, improve themselves through sport and were really dedicated. A lot of great trainers, a lot of good young kids. But man, this was, you know, just sweat and blood. The place just like a sauna of sweat. And met Bobby Gunn. Bobby Gunn was this hulking Goliath, you know, jeans, sneakers, you know, cranking, just drinking a Dunkin' Donuts, coffee, no water. And this in like a black, you know, t-shirt. And that's how he...
I felt it.
Yeah, that's how he rolls. He's got his like cell phone holster on his belt. And it's just like, because he just wakes up, dropped his daughter at school to private school. Before he goes doing asphalt work, he would hit this gym. And he had a son with him too, because the son was working with him. And, you know, it was fascinating because he also had this tiny little dog named Max, little pit bull terrier that he would take with him. French bulldog he had with him. Just the sweetest little dog. He'd put his little water bowl out for him by the, you know, by the boxing ring and, you know, give him some treats. And then this guy would step in the ring and just, you know, savagely go to town on other people. I saw him training in a World War I gas mask. And I was just like, who is this guy? He pops it off. It's like, hi, I'm Bobby Gunn. He was doing that to, you know, simulate training at altitude, basically, so less oxygen.
Yeah.
But it was just an amazing introduction to this guy. And I was instantly fascinated.
It was what you were looking for. He was what you were hoping he would. You're like, this is it. This is who I want to write about, and I'm going to follow you around. And you did. You tailed him, right? Yeah, like as a friend.
Oh yeah. So I spent years with him. You know. So again, I was living and working in New York at GQ. Then I was at Rolling Stone as an editor. I spent years with him, going all over to fights. He was still a pro boxing. You know, he's still in pro boxing as well, a champion fighter. But really what was fascinating, what you see at these boxing gyms is there's really an underground world to the fight world in both pro boxing and MMA. Because at this gym, there was an old school phone sitting on a desk about the size of a toaster. And it was a landline phone. And there would be a little message board next to it. And if someone in the underground or, you know, a lot of these were mob-backed matches, whether it was Irish mob, Russian mob, all these different factions, you know, it's like blood sports. I mean, just like dog fighting, right. Cockfighting. They had this in Chinatown as well, where Bobby fought. And he was usually backed by the Irish mob as their guy to basically, you know, fun nights out. This would be the entertainment. And they would call and leave a message for him. You know, Bobby Gunn, call this number. We have a fight for you. And that's how he would get word to enter one of these underground matches. But these boxing gyms were a lot of times feeder systems as well. It was kind of this secret underground world that existed just below the surface. Hey, you want some quick cash on the side? There's going to be a bare knuckle opportunity for you. And that's really, that's why Gunn did it, you know, for the money. And that's why a lot of other pro boxers and MMA fighters I spoke with did as well.
What kind of money are we talking about here? I mean, I have an idea. I've read a little bit of the book, but what, tell me, what kind of money are we talking about that he's willing to put his brain cells up against to put his kid through school, right? Because he's got it. He's got a job as asphalt.
That's right. So he grew up paving, left school at third grade, and has been working night and day his whole life. And he does that all day. But yeah, when the pro boxing career fizzled and he started taking on these underground matches, it's all about cash and it's quick cash. You know, I mean, a lot of these guys have been burned by promoters, different factions that run boxing, gotten stiffed, gotten lowballed. You know, he had fought as a trainer for Carl King, who was Don King's son, and had some pretty, you know, atrocious experiences in his pro boxing career. He was worried about the atmosphere. It was a dangerous atmosphere going into these underground matches, obviously, where you have weapons and organized criminals and things of, and, you know, bikers and things of this nature. But, you know, there was a basic code in place, an honor system. And he did say, you know, the blood was red, the cash was green. I mean, I always got paid on time. Yeah. I mean, honestly, the matches would vary in terms of prize money. I'd say an average that I heard over and over was around $10,000. Now, Bobby Gunn doesn't have $10,000 in his pocket doing asphalt work. But what he would do is a couple of things. A lot of times he would be staked or backed by the Irish mob, and they would have a place in Hell's Kitchen in New York. You go through this Irish bar, and, you know, down a back door, down some stairs, and there's a fight circuit there. And, you know, they would stake money behind him. He would also gather money from friends and family.
Himself.
Yeah. And it was just a very basic proposition. And he would put in his own cash, but you bet on me, I'll double your money. That's really it. And he always came through.
Right. It's like, you want your money? Then you bet on me, bro. I'm going to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. The most money he ever won collectively in a bare knuckle match was in a Russian mob fight in Sheepshead Bay in outer Brooklyn. And that was a $50,000 purse.
That's 50. How long did that take?
It was a long time. So in that fight, again, he told me he was training at Ike and Randy's gym in Paterson, New Jersey. Said a couple of gentlemen from the Russian mob, you know, left a message. They arranged to meet at a nearby Starbucks. he met with them. They explained the terms. The Russian mob was looking to have an event. Pro box combat sports are very popular in Russia in general. And they even have their own disciplines. Again, Bobby had definitely had a reputation at this point up and down the Eastern Seaboard, particularly in New York City and across the country. And they basically said, hey, we want to bring in somebody for you to fight. You'll be the main card on this evening's entertainment. And Bobby agreed. And he went there and he had a little bit of a crew and they had put together some cash and it was a big purse. Ultimately, you know, I think they put in 25 total. And it was a long fight. I mean, the guy they brought in from Russia could not speak English. It was a slightly different. I mean, the rules of bare knuckle boxing are simple, and you can now see it. The guys I was trailing, Bobby and David Feldman, Feldman has literally created the Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship, which has events. You can look them up online. Right, you can watch them on pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a big one, Knuckle Mania, in Los Angeles in April. I will be there. It's become a $312 million sport now and is growing. These guys were doing this underground at that time. But the rules are simple. It's stand-up boxing. You know, it's just standing up, hitting each other, just no gloves, obviously. So it's not grappling. It's not getting you down on the floor. You know, it's not also really these bouts would sometimes go rough and tumble, which is means all rules are off. I'm going to gouge your eye. Going to try to
bro.
To bite your nose off. But those are that's unusual. And that's really either happens out of a desperation by one fighter. And then everyone understands, OK, this has gone south and let's see what happens. Or if it's like that from the beginning, the money is usually bigger, but that's a rarity. So most of these matches are governed by basic boxing rules, no hitting below the belt, et cetera. No gloves. But Bobby Gunn went in with this understanding it would be that kind of a fight. But this guy was doing a slightly different variation of, you know, Russian bare knuckle fighting and started, again, kind of doing more grappling crazy rules. Bobby just remembers him as being very hairy. Bobby says they walked in and it was people in evening wear. And it was a nice dinner, an event. And then there was a space cleared out in this mansion in outer Brooklyn for these guys to, in a makeshift ring, go at each other. Bobby put him down multiple times. And, you know, it was a fairly long fight by bare knuckle standards. Usually these things just last a couple minutes tops. Bro. Because, again, if you don't have a glove on, you know, boxing's a war of attrition, right? Because it's these blunt, broad impacts that you're hitting someone else with, and you're wearing them down. Obviously, there's a technical aspect as well. Bare knuckle boxing, I mean, if you don't have a glove on, you don't want to break your hand. So you're
right.
You're automatically pulling your punch to a certain extent. Now, the skin on skin, first off, the first time I ever saw one of these, it's the noise you remember. It's like this wet slap. It's a very different sound, and it really does grab your attention. But also, skin on skin contact's just bloodier. Now, it looks bad, but the flip side of that is because you are pulling your own punch and you're hitting someone with less force so you don't break your hand, it actually reduces the impact. Mm-hmm. And studies have shown this so far, reduces resulting concussions and CTE levels, because you just don't want to hit somebody as hard so you don't break your hand. A great analogy is the sport of rugby versus the sport of NFL football. NFL football, we can all watch it on a Sunday afternoon with our kids. It looks really sanitized. These guys are doing massive, massive damage to each other, but you don't see it. Rugby, it's a pretty violent sport to watch. But again, in the long term, they're getting hit with much less force. So when Bobby would go into these, he had decades of experience in the pro boxing ring, had a real set of skills that most guys did not have. But he also really knew from years of bare knuckle fighting how to quickly take someone down. And a lot of those are body shots, organ shots, hit someone in the liver, go for the kidney. So he could, like, with his small hand, as opposed to a much bigger boxing glove, really kind of surgically strike and know where to hit you. Yeah. On your internals. And it just drops guys, you know, I mean, what his strategy would usually be to do a little bit of cuts up top, get some blood in their eyes. That typically takes the fight out of a person, gets them a bit disoriented, and then drop them pretty quickly with a devastating, very technical, very precise body shot. Bobby was doing that in this Russian fight at this mobster's mansion in outer Brooklyn, and the guy was basically unconscious. There was one young gangster in the crowd who kept yelling at the fighter. Maybe he had some money on the guy to get back up. Bobby said he was done, and the kid pulled a gun, as Gunn says, and, basically put it to Bobby's head. And, you know, everybody kind of freaked out, obviously. And there was some older gentleman who was running the organization there, kind of the don of the Russian mob. They looked to him. He said, no, he fought a good fight. Give this man his money. Bobby got $50,000 in a brown paper bag and drove the hell out of there.
Peace. Oh, bro. But still, I mean, wow.
Yeah. I mean, look, he's got in the book. It's just crazy. I recount so many stories. Yeah. I mean, Bobby's life is like unlike any life you will ever come across. You know, he was born in 1970 to Irish travelers. If you've seen the film Snatch, the Guy Ritchie film.
Yes.
Brad Pitt's character is an Irish traveler. These are basically itinerant workers, as the name would imply.
Far and away.
Yeah.
I hate to bring that up, but I don't like your hat, Shannon. Yeah. And I don't like you. Yeah. Yeah. Come on, man. I mean, tell me you like my hat.
You know, it's like, exactly.
Don't like your hat and I don't like you. Okay.
Yeah.
It's not his sister, you know, but I mean, that movie Far and Away was Irish travelers coming into America, picking out a job that they could get. They just wanted a job. They just wanted to work. And they're like, all right, well, let's fight then. Bare knuckle fight. And I'm sitting in the position of the old school style stance. You know, it's like, he just had it in his nature. This Bobby Gunn is like, let's go.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. And before we get into that, you bring up a point talking about Far and Away with Irish immigrants in the 19th century. Look, in the United States in the 1800s, bare knuckle boxing was the most popular sport in the country alongside horse racing and baseball. I did not know any of this until I started doing research for the book, and we include the history of this in the book, but it's fascinating. I mean, you know, it was always a means for immigrants coming to the country to, you know, make money. It's obviously you don't do this unless you need cash pretty desperately, but also to move themselves up in society. I recount a story, the Martin Scorsese film Gangs of New York, Daniel Day-Lewis's character, Bill the Butcher, based on a real life immigrant who was also a champion bare knuckle boxer. And he was able to parlay that into political clout and that fame in the ring. There was several instances. There was Tom Molyneux, who was an enslaved person in Virginia, who became renowned as a bare knuckle boxer on plantation bouts, made so much money, his owner freed him. He then made his way to New York and then to England, where he fought bare knuckle champions over there. And so, you know, it was a sport that was always a means for people in the most desperate situations to pull themselves up. The most famous person, the LeBron of the 1800s, was this guy, John L. Sullivan. And it is the classic image of a, you know, mustachioed, shirtless, you know, a brawny, muscly guy. And he was the son of an Irish plumber who became renowned for his bare knuckle boxing skills, traveled the country. You know, his breakfast was like eating a dozen raw oysters and drinking whiskey. And he would travel town to town, and it was like a game. You know, anybody who can beat me, come on up. And he took them all down, you know, went to the White House to visit Teddy Roosevelt, traveled in the, you know, Wild Bill Hickok's Wild West Show. So, you know, really was a headliner. But what's fascinating is even back then in his final fight in New Orleans, bare knuckle boxing was starting to become more and more unseemly, and you know, especially amid you know, Christian Protestant,
like taboo.
Yeah, taboo, and it was just seen as bloody. And gambling was always a central part of this. So in his final fight, where he took on an opponent outside, it was a mysterious location. People took a train at the last minute out of New Orleans. They were dodging authorities. And it was this epic, epic, you know, 70-something round bout. And he won. And his opponent, Jake Corrain, great-great-grandson, actually ended up heading up Special Operations Forces years later. It was a SEAL. And just fascinating history of these guys. But that's when the sport really went underground. Boxing, again, rose up. Was not as bloody. You know, gambling was still happening, but just not so ostentatiously. And you could make more money as a promoter, because bare knuckle was usually a shorter duration, except for some of these crazy bouts back then. So it became a more sanitized version. But what's fascinating about boxing in general is, you know, one boxing commissioner told me it's a $1 billion sport run like a five and dime store. There's no NFL. There's no MLB, NBA. It's run by these state boxing commissions. So, you know, there still is a lot of independence and, you know, different rules throughout. And that's when, you know, bare knuckle really went underground. And you just had to know to get the invite to go to one of these things. And that's where Bobby Gunn became a champion.
You know, speaking of Snatch previously, you know, with the Brad Pitt character, he seems to always kind of tailor himself towards that scrapper fighter, like with the movie Fight Club. You know, it's like straight up bare knuckle. He's just taking a drag, flexing his ribs, and just right back to punching each other. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
yeah. So, yeah. And again, taking it back to Snatch. So those are Irish travelers. And that's what Bobby Gunn is. So you always think of the Irish travelers, especially depicted in that film, as being overseas in Ireland. But there is a large faction. The numbers aren't exactly known here in the United States. It's estimated to be about 10,000. But these are Irish travelers who live and work across the country. They tend to be located more heavily in certain areas, in Mississippi, South Carolina, New Jersey, outside of Fort Worth, Texas. There's a large community. But basically, it's a community that's very tight-knit. They even have their own language, which Bobby would slip into quite often with other people. Can't. And the joke is you can't understand us, but it's called can't. Mm-hmm. And they tend to revere two things, which is religion and fighting. I mean, you know, it's a close-knit community. They are raised. I met a priest who caters to the community in Memphis, and he gave me a lot of insight for the book. And, you know, they're just raised in a very religious, old-school religious way. And, you know, Bobby, before every fight, would literally lie prostrate on the ground, praying to God. You know, he didn't drink, no tattoos, no cigarettes, nothing like that. You know, but the other part was fighting. These were people who they would pull their children out of school, usually around the middle school age, because they did not want them to assimilate typically with broader culture. And it's in their culture. And this is what Bobby was raised doing, to work as an itinerant tradesman. It was a derogatory term that was used. But, you know, tinker was referring to travelers. And those were traveling people in Ireland, you know, selling little trinkets and things town to town.
So if you tinker on something?
Yeah, and like doing metal work. Again, it's a derogatory term for the community, so is gypsy. But these were all terms that were referencing the traveling communities. They would do like metalsmithing and things like that. And that's what they do today. It's usually more of like asphalt coating and you know, working on barns and literally going door to door and knocking. They do have a reputation for taking advantage of people, as I report in the book, based on my interviews and reporting. Mm-hmm. It absolutely is warranted in several cases, and you can see this online, but I do think it's overblown, and it's unfair how this entire community has been you know, given that broad paint stroke. Yeah. Bobby Gunn's a very upstanding person in his business dealings that I've seen, and you know, has done right, and a lot of, I think they're unfairly maligned in that way, but it is itinerant work, and that's what he was raised doing. But they also gather in these groups and they fight. His father was, before there was WWE, he was known as Black Bart, and he would travel in these early wrestling communities as the heel. These guys would be in like some, you know, van traveling, yeah, city to city, you know,
like a touring band, dude, trying to get there,
playing in your local high school gym. You know, they would have razor blades and do the cuts, all that.
We have a gig at the hair salon, guys.
Yeah.
A gig's a gig, bro. It's $150.
Yeah. So it's
bring my $5,000 amps and all my stuff to the show that I, yes, because it's a gig, right? Just to show the craft, to be a part of the art, to just be able to like continue and put it out there, like theater in back in the day where they'd have wagons that rolled through town and they'd set up a theater and people come pay a penny or pence or whatever to sit down and watch with this theatrical. I mean, really, just to give the craft. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. And good job, Bobby Gunn. You know what I'm saying? Good job.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Well, Bobby grew up in that. So his father stopped doing that when Bobby was born and took him on the road with him. He left school at third grade. It's just hard to go to school and it wasn't really taking if they were always
moving. In your book, you talk about how, you know, I'll give a little bit out there. It talks about how, you know, he was 11 and his dad's waking him up because he's already been boxing as a young man, like training as a boxer. His dad's like, get up and go pummel these guys out in the parking lot for me, will you? Because they don't think they can. They think they can beat probably an 11-year-old. Like, I got this kid that can kick ass. They're like, yeah, bring him out here. He's like, okay, $50. Who knows?
Yeah.
You know, but Bobby was already thrown into the ring by his dad.
100%. So Bobby from birth was trained in pro boxing. His goal was to be an Olympic boxer. But simultaneously, the dad started training him in the art of bare-knuckle boxing as a child. And this was a tough, tough kid. They were living in motor courts, you know, when they weren't on the road going campground to campground looking for work. They were living in motor courts on Lundy Lane on the outskirts of Niagara Falls, which was a tough area, you know. If you imagine a motor court with criminals, prostitutes, that whole thing. Bobby, at 11 years old, one night, he was sleeping on their shag carpet floor. His father, it was not unusual for his father to go out drinking all night, then be up at 5 a.m. and going out to work. But the dad woke him up in the middle of the night, just remembered his cigarette glowing in the dark. His mom was asleep on the motel bed. And the dad said, get up, put your clothes on. I've got a guy out here. You got to beat him. And Bobby, you know, without questioning it, did it. Put on his t-shirt and jeans, walked outside. It was a grown man that Robert Gunn had brought home from the bar. There was a crowd of people watching, the guy's buddies, along with some prostitutes and various hangers-on. And the guy basically kind of looked at Gunn, was like, what the fuck? This is a kid. and Gunn just took him out straight to the face.
The orbital.
Yeah. Pop. And then, you know, the guy started throwing some haymakers and he took him down pretty quickly, and his father pocketed $100. So this is something that he would repeatedly do, which is quick cash. You know, he'd be like, I all the guys, and I talked to his father about this. Father's still alive. I interviewed him multiple times for the book. He's like, yeah, you know, I would bring home ringers. I knew my son could take him out. Now, this is obviously an abusive situation. I mean, this is not a healthy one. And, you know, Bobby is interesting. I mean, because his father trained him in these really brutal ways of fighting. In addition to bare knuckle, he taught him what's known as rough and tumble, which I mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. And that's, those are rules if it's just a dirty street fight, you know, how to really use any means necessary to take another person down. And it's fairly horrific way to fight. But Bobby was trained this way, and his father will say it too. He's like, look, I knew he was entering a tough world. I was just wanting to forge him as a weapon. And even Bobby Gunn, he'll be like, yeah, this sounds awful, but I understand my dad. And that's what he was raising me to do. And that was just his childhood.
Yeah, he's not feeling any like, oh, I was overwhelmed. He's not saying dad didn't know that I couldn't do this.
Absolutely not.
Dad wasn't throwing him to the wolves.
Yeah.
he was like, come to my son. Let me introduce you to my child that I got here, and he's going to kick your ass.
I mean, look.
And you don't think so. And you're like, oh, you're drunk, old man. You're a kid, can't beat me. He's like, yeah, I am a drunk old man, aren't I? I don't know. I'm just assuming, right?
Yeah.
Just talking shit, you know.
Yeah. No,
how would you get a fight going? You know, you got to poke the bear.
Oh, yeah. Like, the dad would definitely be on the sideline talking massive shit. Like,
my son could kick your ass.
Yeah, my son's going to kick your ass. And, like, you call that a fight? I mean, that's something else Gunn recounts, is his dad was just a world-class shit talker.
I'll go wake my 11-year-old right now. He'll kick your ass right now. And the son's back there like, oh, I got to wake up.
Yeah. That was it. That was it exactly. So, I mean, honestly, all of those guys were in for a world of pain. And
I love it.
They would never know what was going to hit them. You know, they're coming in 2 a.m. drunk, just, you know, whatever, I'll pop this kid, and this, they have no idea that they're coming up against the Terminator, and this 11-year-old kid just takes him down.
How big was he at 11, do you think? How tall is Bobby?
You know, he's not huge. I mean, he's around, you know, 5'11 now. And he's a jacked 5'11. I mean, he is thick and muscular, but he will say back then, as he calls himself, quote, I was an opie looking motherfucker. I mean, he was like, I think
sure.
I mean, he's a skinny kid.
It probably helped him win.
Yeah. He was a skinny 11-year-old kid, you know, but again, the father, he was already training around Canada. His mother was American. His father was Canadian. So he has dual citizenship, but he was training as a pro boxer at that young age and really knew his stuff. So he was a lethal weapon, but he was a skinny little kid.
Right. But he just knew. He just picked it up. There's kids in my gym right now that I look at and I'm like, man, how come I wasn't like 13 focused on boxing? I wish I would have been. I was 45 when I got introduced to the gym lifestyle. Yeah. I was always into boxing and for years, but I was like, oh, one day I'll get in the gym. One day. And then I took that step and I made it that day. And now I don't know why I can't go without it.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a great way to focus your mind, your body, your discipline as a young person. And that's something I saw not only in Gunn's life fighting. You know, he had just a hard upbringing. He was ostracized because his father was from one clan of travelers, his mother from another. He was a bit of an outsider, never really welcomed by broader family and community, and lonely. Had just a really hard itinerant background and upbringing. And he really focused on boxing and the gym and his trainers and the managers. And, you know, that was really his productive outlet, his creative outlet in his life. I mean, I think it really did save him. And it's just an integral part of who he is.
Oh, gyms can save lives. 100%.
No doubt.
There's a coach in there that can just see something in that kid and just be like, hey, come here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do this. Let me see that out of you. And next thing you know, you're like, I have a purpose. And it's the gym. And I see kids cleaning up the gym after gym. You know, they're like, hey, I'm just helping out, just making sure things are taken care of, helping the coach put stuff away, because he's holding mitts and he's teaching us all this stuff. He doesn't want to have to vacuum. or whatever.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, no, that's it exactly. And it's part of the training too, right? That's part of that discipline, getting kids
that is correct
to help with cleanup and all of that. And there's, you know, every gym I went to, you know, and Gunn would take literally a baseball bat to some of these. And he had, you know, people had tried to jack him in these, some of these neighborhoods. And, you know, whether it was Philadelphia and you're going into a walk up and it's literally an apartment that has become a makeshift gym for the community because they don't have a gym, but they needed right. that space. All of these places that there was a lot of crime, these were hard, hard areas. Again, Gunn had a baseball bat with him for a reason. I never saw any problem personally. I always saw nothing but respect. Because these gyms are community hubs in a lot of neighborhoods, and they're a place where young people, all people, can go and really focus and improve themselves. And that was universally respected. And I saw that respect among fighters. You know, people who aren't familiar with the fight world, they might be surprised to see it. But, you know, sure, when they're in the cage or the ring, they're going to pummel each other. That's what they're doing. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, you know, they're shaking hands, hugging each other. Again, Bobby and one other fighter told me it was crazy. He would tell me how to, you know, do dirty moves when a ref wasn't looking in the boxing ring. And the next second he'd be asking me if Jesus has saved my life or, is, you know, has he given Jesus my heart? Yeah, right. So, you know, but that's the dichotomy here. And that right. was what was really fascinating. And it really is a true community.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
It is. And when I was in England hosting for SOFREP, we did the SAS, Special Air Service, Special Operations versus Navy SEALs.
Yep.
And similar, there was a boxing event. And we got to go to this gym called the Peacock Gym over in London. Literally, it just gave the sense of a home and a training because they had a grill and a kitchen and two ladies in the back saying, what would you like to eat? Huh? You want some eggs? What you want? You know, you want some bangers and some hash or what?
Yeah.
You know, and they're just feeding you there. You're working out there. It's like, they're like, well, let's not let the fighter go too far away from the gym.
Yeah. The military aspect is interesting. In the opening scene of my book, it's a fight and it's a long scene where we see Bobby in an underground fight somewhere in the Northeast. I don't put city names as requested, but it was in an auto body shop and he was fighting a former Marine. And this former Marine had been introduced to bare knuckle boxing while in training in California around San Diego.
The CPA?
Yeah, the CPA. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So this... I'm not trying to give away anything.
No.
Sorry. I love you. Sorry. I think you're great, dude. I think this is a great book. By the way, you should go check this out, guys.
Thank you. But he was at the time. He was a Marine and in training, and got introduced to bare knuckle boxing through his military friends, and then did tours overseas. Left the military. Had some PTSD issues. Was homeless for a while. Got straight. As you point out, became a CPA, doing taxes, became a father, would like subscribe to CPA monthly, but he missed the camaraderie. It was hard for him to transition from the military brotherhood and fraternity in that world into civilian life. He would talk about just going to a Costco and seeing walls and walls of antiseptic stuff. And it just kind of weirded him out, and people would thank him for their service, but they wouldn't really understand anything what he had done. He was just really kind of adrift, but he reconnected with a sense of fraternity in the bare knuckle community. So he was doing fighting, boxing, got asked if he wanted to join some bare knuckle fights. And he said he just really liked the fraternal aspect. So you have a father, a CPA, who is taking on a bare knuckle match. He doesn't need the money. But he was up against Bobby Gunn, and he liked the brotherhood of it, which is something he had missed from the military. And that's the opening scene of the book.
Yeah, I love it. And it talks about how he was trained to see, and everybody in the Marine has two jobs, right? I love that you say that. It's like, there's two jobs in the Marine Corps. I'm going to slip it out there. One is the job you're doing, and the other is to kill.
Yep.
And so you have a CPA, Marine Corps killer, who has to transition from that life cycle and go to a civilian life cycle. And he found his outlet in the gym and with Bobby and throwing fists and, working out. Really, the workout is 90% of the battle, the staying in shape, the cardio, the eating, trying to eat right. You know how hard it is to try to eat a banana after I work out.
Yeah, no.
Got to find it. I'm just saying.
And there are multiple other fighters I discuss in the book who also had experience in the military, and there really was an overlap. Obviously it's a familiarity with violence when necessary, mm-hmm. but it's also, I think, bigger than that. What I saw was this brotherhood and this community and this discipline that people liked and wanted to hold on to even after their service.
Yeah, I like someone in the gym saying, okay, here's what we're going to do. You're going to do 1 minute of planks. And they're like, Radel, put your butt down. And I'm like, you are literally talking to me while I'm in a plank? He's literally saying it to me. It's my butt that's in the air. You know what I'm saying? He's like, level out. There's something about that, And I just love it. And I love your book. I love your personality. I love the fact that you've got so much background working in other, subscriptions like GQ or Rolling Stone, probably Esquire, and, Men's Journal. I think you even wrote an article about our buddy Brandon, who is softrep.com, Brandon Webb, right?
I did.
What is that? Which article did you write about him?
So I wrote a feature story profile of SoftRep founder Brandon Webb for Men's Journal magazine. The story is called Navy SEAL Inc., and I went out to visit Brandon. I flew out from New York. I was aware of SoftRep. I liked the coverage y'all were doing. I liked that it was run by veterans and inside intel and information on things that were happening around the world. I thought it was a really smart approach, and the news was fantastic. I met up with Brandon and went out to California, where he would fly in the San Diego area. Had a private hangar with some former SEALs who had done well in the private sector. And they would fly these old decommissioned Yak 52 planes they'd gotten from the Russians. That's right. Aerial dogfights. I mean, this is legit Top Gun training territory. In fact, I met through Brandon, the guy had a hangar who was the original Top Gun instructor nearby. So Brandon had this kick-ass hangar. These guys all did, where it was literally, if you watch Top Gun, the latest one, at the end, they're kind of working on the plane. That's like what these things are. It had a little shower, little kitchenette, little bed, and then just this giant open bay door looking out on the runway and skies. And I went out with these guys and went flying. They put me in the back. One guy was a Southwest Airlines pilot off duty. A couple of them had just come out of the Top Gun school. There was Brandon. There were a couple other ex-Navy SEALs. These guys were pulling G's, you know? I had no idea. I'd just gotten off a plane from New York and went up with these guys and doing aerial dogfights. I mean, you know, really pulling serious G's.
Like shooting the watch, dude. You're like, you know, banking and they're going like this.
Just doing circles.
Inverted. Yeah, you know.
Oh, total inverted. My balls were up in my throat somewhere.
Relations. Oh, I hate that.
And it was just incredible. And, you know, went up with Brandon. And then that night, it was really fun because these guys would, the sun would be setting and they would have, a little catered meal. They'd break out some, whiskey and drinks and cigars.
Yes.
And then guys just trading these crazy ass war stories and bullshitting into the night. And it was really fun. And so I got a peek at Brandon's life, his own incredible story. He has a very interesting relationship with his father as well.
Yeah. I know. Threw him off a boat.
Yep. Has overcome a lot of adversity and, a lot of different things and clearly done very well. And, as a sniper instructor in the SEALs and then now with SoftRep and his business ventures. And then, another time I met up with Brandon in New York in the city where he would go work out. And I think he was kind of fucking with me. He took me out with his a couple other buddies of his where they would do swimming and they would swim and then get out and do push-ups, swim, get out, do push-ups. And he's like, why don't you hang with us? I did hang with them. I was the last guy, but I didn't quit. And I think we kind of bonded over that. But yeah, Brandon
so
went.
Swim a lap and then do push-ups or swim lap or like back and forth?
It got a little.
This is at the NY Club.
Yeah, it's at the NY Club. Yep. It got a little hazy, to be honest. And this is before I went to work one morning at Men's Journal in Manhattan. But yeah, it's NY Club right off of Central Park South. I don't know. It was a long ass pool, is all I remember. And we were swimming and we were getting out and doing push-ups. And then afterwards, we hit the sauna, and I think we even did some weights after that. Just getting a taste of the daily regimen, but yeah, it was fun. I had a lot of fun hanging with Brandon, and it's amazing what you guys are still rolling with here. And I love your show.
Yeah, thank you. He is great to hang with. There's lots of stories traveling with him. He's a great dude, and again, I love that he loves me to keep me doing this. It's such an honor to. And I get to interview you and all sorts of other rock stars that come through my life. And I get to soak up some of your valor. And then I get this. I've got so much valor from all sorts of different people in me right now. It's not even funny, my man. I can help you run a VA. I can help you write a book about bare knuckle boxing now.
I bet.
What else? You want me to cook a grilled cheese? No, I love it. And again, I haven't grabbed a book so many times while I've talked to an author or my guest. Your book, this cover, is it black?
Blackstone.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, available on
it. They really made
Amazon anywhere, but it looks fantastic. Yes. They did a really good job with design. My agent Shane Salerno and Ryan Coleman at Story Factory were really instrumental in the look and feel.
Story Factory.
Well, but it's look. I mean, Bobby Gunn is a fascinating life from fighting grown men in parking lots at age 11. To becoming a pro boxer, then leaving pro boxing at 30, just disillusioned with it. His mother had died. He got married. He wanted a different life. For 10 years, he just fought solely in the underground and became a champion in the illegal underground circuit of bare knuckle boxing. I've got all these stories across the country of him fighting. At age 40,
it just smells like CBGBs to me for some reason. I don't know why. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's just that whole time frame.
Yeah, and we've got there's great photos throughout. So I was with him for years. I was taking pictures. I got amazing vintage photos from Gunn and other people as well that we included. But at age 40, he goes back to pro boxing and fights some real serious contenders: Thomas Adamack, Roy Jones Jr.
Bro, Roy Jones.
Yeah,
bro.
And Roy Jones was fascinating. So Roy Jones came up in Gulf Coast, Florida, and his dad was into dogfighting. Yeah, there's
look at his arms. I know you guys watching may not be able to see the best of it. Go get this book. That dude is yoked, man. He is. Yeah.
He was,
you know,
he was huge.
Bro.
He was huge. I mean, the guy.
He's just so tight.
Yeah. And, you know, and he fought Roy Jones Jr. And all these guys were fascinated by his 73-0 record in bare knuckle boxing. He became a legend. You can, you can YouTube him. There are songs about Bobby Gunn. I mean, he's almost like this legendary ghost figure, especially before the internet, you know, when he was doing this stuff. It was just the whisper of this guy. And he would come into town like a gunslinger and take down the local tough, take the money, and he'd disappear. But, you know, Roy Jones Jr. was fascinated with that. He had grown up with a father who fought dogs, dog fighting, and he knew the blood sport, the cockfighting.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And he respected Gunn. A lot of these guys respected Gunn for his ability to fight bare knuckle. And it's just an incredible life story.
Yeah, I'm really happy to have had you on the show today. It's been a really great time. And, you know, I know I've had you for, you know, a good little while today. And so I think I'll just kind of leave it on this positive note and just say that you're always welcome back on the show. Anytime you have something to say or want to talk about it, you know, if you want to talk about, you know, the article of you writing about Tyson Fury, you know, or if you want to talk about all these different things, you guys can go out and find all sorts of articles that Staten has written. Just go take a look, type in his name. You'll find so many Rolling Stones, Men's Journal, Esquire, Stock, or so many.
Yeah.
I've seen them, bro.
Thank you so much. This has been so much fun. I love your show. Thank you for having me. It's been a real pleasure.
You know, and from all of us here at SoftRep Mafia, SoftRep.com, you know, that's my hashtag right there, SoftRep
like
Mafia. You know, we say thanks for being on the show. Thanks for being a friend of the program. And you're always welcome back anytime, Staten. So thanks again. And on behalf of Staten and his book, Bare Knuckle, the Bobby Gunn 73-0 Undefeated, A Dad, A Dream, A Fight Like You've Never Seen by Staten Bonner. I hope you get used to hearing your name all the time like that, sir. So thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much. I loved it.
Well, thank you. And to my listener and viewer out there, again, go check out the merch. We really appreciate that. And check out our book club. And we're going to try to get that book right into there. And on behalf of Brandon Webb, I'm going to say peace.
You've been listening to Soft Rep Radio.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway. The Great American Race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR. The Motor Racing Network.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.